Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford books, and specifically the one that we've covered here in 54 weeks of study, The Laws of Material Wealth, the book, the workbook with five exercises per chapter, four DVDs, and then we had 54 weeks of support material and 54 shows. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford. Go to the archives on the left-hand side, scroll down, and you can go all the way back to week one, week two, week three, all the way through the 54 weeks of the program. This is being placed onto DVDs, and there will be a new workbook, so all of that will be in one place. But for the time being, if you do not have the support material, just email iamrenford, iamrenford, at gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to send that to you by email. The show tonight, my guest is Dr. L. McDonald, and we'll be talking about what is going to be coming in a new series for the next 6 months. On the third Wednesday of each month, Dr. L. will be talking to you, and she will talk about the subject matter for these 6 months. Now, she is the founder of Stress Ace Yoga, and I'll give you more details on Dr. McDonald in a moment. Please feel free to call in if you've got a question of me or Dr. L. Simply by dialing 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you've got someone who would like to listen to the show, but their computer, they're not online and don't have a computer, they can call that same number, 347-838-9142, and just simply listen by phone. Also, if you or anyone else, tell them also that if they would like to ask a question of Dr. L or myself, to just press the 1 button. Once you've dialed 347-838-9142, once you're in the studio, then just press 1 on your touchtone dial, and that will flag us to bring you in for your questions. We'll be right with Dr. McDonald in a few moments. We now do the first thing that we're doing on the show each evening is the Renford Revelation blogs. If you have not heard or seen the blogs, you can go to iam-cor.org and /, and blog. Now, that's the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, but you can go directly to the blog simply by going to iam-cor.org. and /blog, and you can go there to see any of the Renford Revelations that have already been posted. There's also a place there that you can make your comments, positive or negative, about the blog. Tonight, the Renford Revelation is called Spiritual Elitism. Now, this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and it's not meant to be an indictment of any religion or anything else. It's just a logical look at how we see our religions, and I'll begin now. Random House Webster's College Dictionary defines elitism as practice of or belief in rule by an elite, consciousness of membership in or allegiance to a select group. Now, let me ask a few questions. Would you say that a religion or church that suggests that they are a royal priesthood, a holy nation set apart and God's elect, is promoting elitism? Now we have that. We definitely have that. Would a religion that claims that all those born into a certain race or God's chosen people be elitist in nature? Would a religion that claims that God chooses those who will be saved and condemns the rest to the fires of hell be considered elitist? Would a religious group that looks down on fundamentalists as backwards or backward be considered elitist? Would the fundamentalist who believe one has to accept Christ and be born again or be lost be considered elitist in nature? Is it not true that members of virtually every religion consider theirs to be the true path to God and all others somehow deficient? Spiritual elitism, like all elitism, is seated in fear. Any claim of spiritual superiority is seated in the deep fear that one does not measure up, that if one's position is not special, it is wrong, and one is deserving or not, whether one is deserving or not. Elitism of all kinds, I misread that, folks. Spiritual elitism, like all elitism, is seated in fear. Any claim of spiritual superiority is seated in the deep fear that one does not measure up, that if one's position is not special, it is wrong and someone else could be right. Elitism of all kinds is negative in nature. It is not giving. It is the desire to receive whether one is deserving or not. In the parable of the talents, who would have been the most deserving? The one who had five, the one who had two, or the one who had one, if the roles had been reversed? It was the one who had five who decides, because he has more, that he will bury his, because it would be unlikely that the other two could reach the same quantity. If the one had turned his one into three and crowed about it or looked down on the others, this too would have been negative. Of the world's major religions, Buddhism and Hinduism have been the least aggressive in any attempt to evangelize the rest of the world. While there's no doubt that there are among those among these religions that see their religion as superior and their great teachers to be greater than any other, these religions have not attempted to cram their beliefs down the throat of people anywhere in the world and not been so dogmatic and egregious as Christianity and Islam. Judaism, while not aggressively and militarily attempting to evangelize, has been the most elitist in philosophy. When you claim to be God's chosen people, you should not be surprised that other nations stick you in a ghetto for a few hundred years, as they did in Europe. All right. You should not be surprised that you experience military conflict on a continuous basis and that you exist under the constant threat of obliteration from the earth. It should be no surprise that it is necessary for you to find protection under the banner of freedom outside your own territory and from fundamentalist Christians who value your heritage but see themselves as the inheritors of it. Everyone claims to desire tolerance and world peace, but of course this elitist mindset guarantees that no such peace can exist. Why do people pray for peace and many, including celebrities, claim their ardent desires for world peace? This view of the world is as inane as one who desires riches but disdains to do anything to achieve it. Riches are the result of thinking and doing. Money is the byproduct of this action. What is peace? It is not the absence of war. Peace is a byproduct of love. If you want peace, pray for love and understanding. Only with love of each other and respect for life wherever human beings exist can there possibly be peace. Since when has anyone generated love by telling everyone else that they have to believe what they believe and that their teachers and prophets come from God and no one else is so elite as they? So where do we go from here? How do we combat elitism in religion and how do we create the possibility for peace in the world? We start by respecting the right of all peoples everywhere to practice whatever religion or philosophy they desire, as long as it is not harmful to those who have a different concept of God. Remembering that peace is a byproduct of love, every effort should be made to increase our awareness of the universal law of absolute unity. all are one, and attempting to show your superiority is counterproductive to establishing the love link. Where there is love, there's peace. The third step is to hold prayer and meditation above all our activities. Holding this communion with the inner being, with God, is time that cannot be left out of our daily routine. It has been proved that even a relatively small number of people holding a thought such as love a fellow man above all else literally changes the area where the focus is. There are 13 universal laws or spiritual principles that the great masters illustrated and explained, as did Jesus in his parables and teachings. He, when asked, stated that the most important of these principles is love. He said we were to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. This thought alone, when held in meditation, is more powerful than all the diplomatic corps of all the countries in the world. Why is thought so powerful? It is because God is love, and love is the glue that holds everything together. With this expression from the religious community, the byproduct would be exactly what everyone says they want: peace. And that's my thoughts and the Renford Revelation for this evening. Now, let's get to our guest, Dr. L. McDonald. Dr. McDonald has been already producing this same series on the original Radio by Renford show, The Searcher's Roadmap, hosted by Rhonda Harrison. And it is something that I think is extremely important for us in personal development, and that's why I've asked her to produce this series here on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Dr. L was educated in, she's from Arkansas, she's educated in Arkansas, and in normal, our regular medicine. She's spent 15 years abroad, going so far as to study even African, as a Sangoma, in African healing systems, and she is a yoga expert, and not just someone who has learned a few different kinds of yoga, but one who has developed a particular program addressing the problem of stress, which has proven to be one of our biggest killers, causing heart attacks and all manner of physical problems. And so I'm going to allow her to go tell us a little bit more about her development of this particular practice, and then get into her subject matter for tonight. Thanks very much for being with me on the show, Elle.
Thanks, Jim. Wow, that's...
Are you there? We can't hear you here. I'm not sure what has happened on that. Yes, we have lost Dr. L. Hopefully she can call back in here and I can pick her up here. There she comes. We lost her right off the line there. Oh, we lost
her
right off the line, didn't we?
Yeah, the call dropped. Okay, great.
Yeah.
The call dropped for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was it that you call that thing you just read? Insights or
Renford,
spiritual?
The Renford Revelations, which can be
Revelations. Renford Revelations. That was quite a reading there. That's really fascinating to listen to that.
Thank you.
I feel a little inadequate after that about my little topics, but I'm hoping that perhaps I might grab some people's attention. What I'd like to do is start off with an overview about what I'm going to be covering over the next 6 months. The name of the series that I've given it is Perspectives in the Transition to the Radiant Self. And this is a six-part series. The part that I'm going to be talking about tonight a bit is called Multiplicity and Diversity Within Oneness. And then next month, it'll be called The Dynamic Body Self. The third month will be creativity and manifesting within the flow. The fourth month will be unbounded awareness. The fifth month will be a new way to live. And the sixth month, which is the coup de grace, is manifesting the radiant transcendent self. So the way that I come about this series, I'd like to talk a little bit about experiential psychology, which is a reality-based psychology. It's based on my perspective, from my experiences. And I'm using this as a springboard because what I find that is out there in pop psychology and New Age understandings is a lot of, and religions, is a lot of folklore, a lot of symbolism that's not clear, and you kind of have to guess where it's pointing, and you may or may not be correct because it's all kind of vague. It's passed down through other people's experiences and not your own. So I'm kind of looking at the series as a reality-based series based on my own experiences and people, other people's experiences that I know or that have related to me or have at least given some validity to the reality that we do live in. It's a little bit like, you know, rather than just accepting spiritual or Eastern cultures or depth psychology or reality-based psychology comes to us more from a line of experience rather than hearsay or ancient scriptures. Not that those are not valid to a certain degree, but that the reality of life gives us what we're living. It's a little bit like during the Renaissance, when Galen, who was a philosopher, said that blood was just in the body. And until the Renaissance, they thought the blood was static in the body. They didn't even know it moved. And they started getting bodies and doing autopsies. And then they found that blood actually moved around in the body. Or it's a little bit like I used to think the earth was the center of the universe, until Galileo purported that, no, the sun, the earth revolves around the sun. They used to think that everything revolved around the earth, and the church actually, he was almost put to death because of that, but he was silenced by the church. It's a little bit like the earth, they thought the earth was flat, and then they realized research based on reality that it was round. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, and able to formulate this experience that I called multiplicity and diversity within oneness, which I'm going to talk about tonight, and also about my experience with what some people would call God, or I call unbounded awareness. Some people would call it the ability to perceive infinity or universal intelligence or consciousness. So that's kind of where my platform is coming from. Instead of vague ideas and thinking that thought creates our reality and every time something happens to you, you have to look for a reason, which sets up guilt, like, what did I do to create this in myself, or why has my thinking gone wrong? I'm not coming from that platform. I'm coming from the platform based on experience and based on my experience from the body and how the body stores stress and how unwinding that stress is going to make your life happier, healthier, and longer.
I think our listeners who have been through the 54 weeks of support material in the 54 shows are going to be very much in tune with you, Elle, because the whole program is based around the concept of identifying and verifying each of these principles that I talk about. And it's all about personal recognition from events in our own lives. So it's very much in tune with what you're talking about on personal experience. So feel free to strike out there with it, because I think they'll be in tune with you.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is that there's still a great deal of pop culture, mysticism, and information that's being fed that's not really based on reality or on productivity or how we actually live our lives. So one of the things that I found is, especially like with stress ice yoga, is we now know that the brain is, they used to tell us, this is another one of those things they used to tell us, and we believe them, that we're born with a certain amount of neurons, and these neurons are done. Once they die, they're gone, and so then the only thing that's going to happen to us is we get dementia or Alzheimer's, and that's it. Well, now, through research and science, which is based on reality, they know that the brain has neuroplasticity. They know that these neurons and glia cells and things can formulate and they can be stimulated, and we can actually grow our brains. We can grow our brains through movement. We can grow our brains through doing like brain games. We can grow our brains and expand our awareness. The more we grow our brains, the more our awareness expands.
Would you include reading and other stimulants as brain?
Well, other things that stimulates the brain to move in new areas. That's going to make you learn something. Language, speaking a new language. Dancing is a great one. They have this thing on the internet called Luminosity, and it's full of brain games, and it makes you it challenges your brain to grow. It'll have a speed challenge or a perception challenge or a problem-solving challenge, anything that makes you think differently than you have been is going to stimulate your brain to grow. Now, in my experience, after having been involved with yoga for a long time now, almost 20 years, my experience within my own psyche is that since I've been doing stress ice yoga, which releases stress from the nervous system and the body, I can actually, this is going to sound strange, but I can feel in my head that there's, it's almost like we have brain growth. There's new evolution that's happening within our brain, because now, for some reason, our culture has given us permission that we can grow our brains. And in growing our brains, we reach new levels of functioning, new levels of awareness, and new levels of being able to function in the world. So this brain growth, if you look back at psychology and science, we have brain growth, we have spurts of brain growth all through our developmental stages. And every time the child, like a toddler, doesn't think like an adult. And when you're an adult, you don't really remember how you thought as a child. Well, this next level of brain growth that I'm talking about, and I think that I'm, you know, a lot of people are going through it. I've been teaching this now for a while. When we get into this next level of expansion or brain growth, we won't remember how we functioned back at our older, like as a teenager. As a teenager, our brain has a certain amount of neurons and dendrites, and it functioned and thought in a certain way. As an adult, at about age 25, there's another brain growth spurt. Now, they're saying that we have neuroplasticity. I feel, and I've experienced within myself, there's a new awareness, like an unbounded awareness, that's starting to function within me where I don't think or feel like I did even a year ago. So this, what I'm talking about is neurophysiology, and I'm healthier and happier and more aware than I think I've ever been in my entire life, even as a 20-year-old. And what's happening now, what's really fascinating me now, is I've just recently had a retinal detachment where in my right eye, and I was very, very frightened. I never experienced anything like that before. And our eyes, you know, we just don't appreciate them enough, because it's like when my sight started going in my right eye, I thought, how am I going to be able to learn how to function in the world without eyesight? And I was getting to the point where I thought, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to learn how to function in the world without my eyes. Well, luckily enough, my intuition said, you need to go get this checked out. So I did, and I found that I had 72 hours to get the retinal attached back to the eye, or that eye would go blind. So I ended up going to the doctor, and they scheduled me for surgery within 72 hours. They also found a tear in my left eye. And so you could go down that road of the New Age thought of, you know, what did I do to create this, and why are my eyes blowing up, and all that. Well, I'm still researching that, and I'm still researching why this happened and what it meant, what it means to me as a human being. But at this point, I've gotten my eyesight back. I did have the eye surgery. But reflectively, what's happened is that it's changed my consciousness. It's changed my consciousness from the way that I view the world. It's opened up a whole world of awareness that I didn't have before. I've released a lot of fear. And I'm going to say this, it felt like I was free-falling in fear. And then I reached a point where it almost felt like the hand of God, or this unbounded awareness I'm talking about, caught me. And then this sense of safety came forward, and I was able to relax and feel that I was being supported. And then I gained this whole new awareness of life. And I'm not going to go into great detail about that now, but getting back to the topic of what I want to talk about tonight, multiplicity and diversity in oneness, is the fact that we all swim in this ocean of awareness, this vibratory field. And within this vibratory field, there's a flow. And, Jim, you would know about this because of your laws of material wealth. Within this flow, there's like, you could compare it to the ocean. There's many different kinds of fish in the ocean. There's whales and dolphins and scallops and crabs and, I mean, all different kinds of fish swimming around in this ocean. Or you could compare it to an orchestra that, we have this music that we're creating together, but everyone's playing a different instrument. So within this multiplicity and diversity, there's this flow. So in an orchestra, the flow is the music. The music is not the orchestra, but the orchestra is creating the music. So this unbounded awareness that I'm talking about is a little bit like if you were to look at a book, a page of a book, and you see all the words on the page, but you don't see the page that's holding the words. In other words, this unbounded awareness is the underpinning of all the different things that are going on in our lives, whether it be health or money or love or relationships. It's flowing through us and around us all the time. And so that's the only thing that's consistent. Everything else changes. Our circumstances change. Our health might change. Our financial situation might change. People are born. People die. But this awareness keeps going on. It flows in and around us all the time. And if we can get into this flow, if we can allow this flow, a little bit like going down the river and trying to hold on to the sides of the river to be in control, if we can let go and keep our hands in the boat and the river will take us downstream. And while it's taking us downstream, we're going to have life experiences. We might have health issues. We might have financial issues. But this boat is going to stay afloat. Occasionally, we might put an oar in the water to stay on track, or to maybe we come from a bifurcation in the river. We need to go to the right instead of the left. But it needs actual minimal attention from us, because this unbounded awareness and this flow is carrying us. No matter what happens to us, this hand of God or this situation or whatever catches us and will keep us going down this river of life. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
So back to stress-based yoga and back to the brain and back to releasing stress from our nervous system. One of the things that keeps us from being aware of this flow and aware of this unbounded awareness is stress. Stress tightens around us like a fist, like a glove. It holds us and it suffocates us. When we teach people how to do stress-based yoga, this fist starts loosening up and we unwind the nervous system to a point. It takes about 18 months to 2 years to get to the point, but it takes a little while for the body, the mind, the spirit, the psychoneurology, the growth of the brain, everything that I just spoke about to catch up. So it's actually taking us back to that original place when the sperm and egg came together and we were conceived as a newborn, and that newborn gets born out into the cultural world. It takes us back into that place of ecstatic bliss or radiant transcendent self. Now I'm going to make a jump here, but this radiant transcendent self that I was talking about, that our sixth session is going to talk about, is actually this unbounded awareness, because this unbounded awareness is in us and around us and floats and supports us and gives us the capacity to be the creators and manifestors that we were originally made to be. But as we go through life, stress comes in and we begin accumulating stress, and accumulating this stress keeps us from expansion and being in touch with this unbounded awareness that I'm talking about. And there's a place in our brains, with our brain growth and our physiology, when this stress releases, it allows us to mature into the upgraded human beings that we were meant to become.
Could you explain to listeners where stress actually comes from. What manifests stress? How's it come to be?
Stress is an organism's inability to adapt to change. That's how it was defined by Dr. Hans Seeley back in the 1970s. Stress is a relatively new word in terms of our culture, but now, especially within the 21st century with technology and the way life has sped up, stress is a common everyday word now, but it's actually our inability to adapt to change, whether it's change in our environment, change in temperature. It goes back to that evolutionary talk about survival of the fittest and that sort of thing. Stress is created when a situation or a circumstance is exhibited, and how a person handles that is what creates stress. So there's
It's very interesting, Elle, that if you go back and you look at Eastern teachings you were talking about, the first law of Buddha was that everything changes. And his second law was that all of our problems come from resistance to that change. Very old stuff here, isn't it?
Very old stuff. And Buddha, his teachings and all that were based on a lot of reality when he was walking around on Earth. His whole thing was about reality. But since his death and the way his followers have created Buddhism, there's a lot of mystery and mysticism and symbology that may or may not have meaning to people that are not Buddhist. And what you were saying in your original reading tonight about being spiritual elitism and all that, that's where a lot of that comes from. It's like my way or the highway, or this is the way it is, or that sort of thing. But if you look at the way humanity has evolved through time, even as a species, the little bit we know of our history, and a lot of that is even covered up, but, if we were Neanderthals or Cro-Magnons or, if that was part of our evolutionary path, and it may not have been, there are some people that feel God created humans. Other people feel aliens came down, manipulated them, and they created humans. And then there's the evolutionists. It doesn't really matter which is right or which is wrong. What matters is, what are we going to do now? Here we are on the planet. They say that Earth has been through 5 extinctions. There's a 6th extinction coming up. What are we going to do about that? Are we going to do anything? And every time there's an extinction, just a handful of human beings are left to create the next wave of humanity. So I don't know if any of that is true, or if it is not true. I know what they tell us. I know what I hear. But my own experience has led me to this expanded awareness that I'm experiencing now. And frankly, I'm not real clear on the exact steps of how I got here, but I know I was in the flow. I didn't know I was in the flow at the time, where a lot of the information has come to me. But I was being guided or something. I mean, my life is, I was born in central Arkansas from a pretty dysfunctional family. I left that. I went to school, went out to California, went to England, went to Africa. But each time there was a change, it seemed like the thing that I needed to do. Looking back on it now, I see I was following this flow within me that has brought me back here. Here I am in Memphis, Tennessee, talking to you, Jim, on the phone. And I know that I'm going to be guided, or the flow is now taking me to somewhere else. This stress-based yoga is now flourishing. We're writing a book. We've got a YouTube DVD on it. And I feel that looking back on my life past, at some point I thought, God, what am I doing? I'm just making a mess of everything. But now it looks like it was all guiding me, or I was flowing to this place where we've created this yoga for the 21st century, this yoga for the Western mind. Go ahead.
I want to take a few moments and take a little bit of a break and then let you come back to that point, because I want people to know how they can contact you, how they can get information about Stress-Less Yoga and about other things that you're doing. Dr. L is lecturing at University of Memphis and conducts numerous classes. And you want to give a little information about how they can get more information
sure.
in terms of websites and so forth?
Sure. You can go to our website at StressAce, StressAce.com. My phone number is in the States is 901-457-8895. And you could email me if you want to, or text me. But my email is Ella, E-L-L-A, at StressAceYoga.com. And, yeah, you can email or text me or call me
now
and check
out
the website.
And if someone wanted to begin yoga, fundamental or primary or beginning yoga, do they have to go through one of the more, is it an advanced type of yoga where they have to be experienced in yoga practices in order to come to yours, or can they start with you?
Well, this yoga is for everyone. It's for children, it's for elders, it's for people in the middle, teenagers. It's for anybody that's suffering stress. Now, I've trained some yoga teachers, so they, if they wanted to practice the yoga, they're certainly welcome to do that, and I can put you in touch with some of the yoga teachers that works with the general public. If they're interested,
are they
in
all
these,
over the country? Are they just
we've just only been out here a year, so right now it's me and three other teachers. But this year, which is our second year, I'm getting ready to train people in other countries and other cities in the States. So if they want to start, what I'm getting ready to say is we're lining up some webinars, we're lining up some trainings that will go online, and also I'll be traveling. And so if you want to become a teacher, a StressAce teacher or educator,
you're talking to yoga teachers now, or are you talking to the general population?
Talking to yoga teachers now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to become a StressAce educator, you need to have at least a 200-hour yoga teacher training. So if you've got some kind of background as a healthcare provider or something like that, it'll be more advantageous to you to when you come into something specialized like this. It's going to help people really get back to their original way that they need to be in their bodies, like when they were a child. The beauty of StressAce is that you start feeling like you're a child again, but you have the maturity and you have the radiance of the child, but then you have the maturity of an adult, which as a child, when we were radiant, we were always getting in trouble because people were telling us to, children are seen and not heard, and don't do that. Don't speak like that, don't whatever, when we were vibrant as a child. Now as an adult, you can be vibrant and have the maturity to control that aliveness in a way that will allow people to be uplifted around you.
So those are the contact numbers. Let's repeat it. StressAce.com. If you would like to get more information, you can, if you want to talk to Dr. L about qualifying as a teacher or taking yoga, then you can call her at 901-457-8895, or you can email her, ELLA, at StressAceYoga. All right? Is that correct? Anything else that we need to?
StressAceYoga.com. Yes.
StressAceYoga.com. Okay. And you have, you not only have trifolds and various material on what you're doing, but you also have DVDs, I believe.
Yes, you can actually go on YouTube. I have I created this thing called the Body Clock Harmonizer, and what it does, it energizes you in the morning. It levels, balances you out throughout your day, and then it relaxes you in the evening. And it's on YouTube, and you can just type in Stress Ace Yoga or Body Clock Harmonizer or even just Stress Ace. You can type in my name as well and get it. I think it's listed under the Stress Ace channel, and it's free, and it's about 15 minutes long.
But it'd be a very good introduction to the process.
It'd be a great introduction, and it's for beginners as well as advanced people. Yeah.
And where do you go from here? I want you to get back to your subject matter, but I would like to know what your plans are. You mentioned travel. Are you going on a tour, or what have you got in mind there?
Well, this year I'm focusing on educating people on Stress Ace Yoga. I'm getting ready on the 14th of March. I'll be in Nashville. I'm speaking at the pulmonary support group there at Vanderbilt University. This week I've got a lecture down at downtown Memphis at the Alpha Legal Services. I'm going to be speaking to the Bar Association there on Stress Ace Yoga. I've got some plans to go to Dallas. And so I'm focusing on lecturing and educating this year and training teachers. And once I get teachers trained up, then I can let go so much of teaching with the general public and focus more on educating educating people to get the word out about Stress Ace.
It used to be that a lot of it used to be a lot of people were, you know, kind of considered yoga as an Eastern thing. But it appears now that there's a lot more acceptance, especially of the way you're approaching it, from hospitals and from all type of mainstream institutions.
Right. We're going mainstream. Stress Ace Yoga is based on neuroscience. It's based on early childhood development reflexes. And it's based on sensory integration. So if you want to take Stress Ace Yoga and apply it to, say, like your laws of material wealth or health and wealth, you can't really have health without wealth these days, and you can't really have wealth without health. If you do have wealth and you're not healthy, you're not going to enjoy it. So Stress Ace Yoga, I'm going to try to tie this up now back to my topic of origination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, releases the stress from the body, which allows you to get back in the flow, which allows this new brain growth, because as long as that fist is around your body and you're under stress, your brain is not going to function physiologically to its maximum, and you're not going to be growing new dendrites and new glia cells if you're stressed out. The body is going to function and flow by unwinding stress at its best and get you back to that sense of radiant, transcendent self. When stress goes, stress is just tension from the past. When that goes, then you are allowed to flow freely. You flow freely inside yourself. You flow freely outside yourself. And so then you're connected to this thing that I started with called being yourself, being an individual within the diversity of the oneness that we all swim in, this ocean. And I know that's a lot to probably process at this point, but it really is like a key for unlocking your transcendent self, on a physical level so that you can experience the flow that we were meant to be in. In the Bible, it says,
we live, move, and have our... There's one place it says, we live, move, and have our being in God. That sounds a lot like swimming in the ocean, doesn't it, of awareness?
Yeah, I was going to quote the one about like the birds that fly in the air, the lilies that grow in the field.
Yeah. So
to be like that the Lord God takes care of us, surely if it takes care of the birds and the lilies, it's going to take care of the human beings, right? So
right.
It only makes sense that we get into this flow and allow the manifestation of material wealth, allow the manifestation in the flow of our health, or our love, or our relationships. Right now, most people that I run into are having conflict with relationships. Financially struggling, don't have time for themselves, much less anyone else. And so this fist is choking them, this vice of stress is choking them, and it will kill you. Stress will kill you. I mean, that's been proven. Heart attacks, all that.
Mm.
Strokes.
Stress puts stress on all of our physical organs, doesn't it? It's not just the brain and
everything.
The heart.
Yeah, definitely.
So it would seem
when you have stress, your nervous system shuts down, so your nerve energy can't flow. If you don't have your nerve energy, your blood doesn't circulate properly. If your blood doesn't circulate properly, then your heart can't pump properly, and you can't think clearly, and you're not oxygenating, and your respiration is slowed down. So everything flows in the body. It's supposed to flow. Flow on the inside, flow on the outside.
It would seem with any kind of analysis of it, it would seem that it's as important as good blood flow. It's as important as good food. It's important as good sleep. That we understand this whole question of stress and awareness.
Yeah, insomnia is a key indicator of being stressful. Conflicts in relationships is another symptom of stress. Not not being happy, not being able to breathe, can't catch your breath. A lot of colds is another symptom. There are many, many.
We have
many,
about 8 minutes
okay.
left on the show, and I would really like to turn over the next 5 or 6 minutes until we get to the last couple. For you to give your advice or what you're suggesting to our listeners, besides give you a call or give you an email, but what any kind of suggestion that you can make or any advice you can give, we'd love to have it.
Advice or suggestion toward what were you thinking of, Jim, specifically?
Well, toward understanding and awareness of the stress, question of stress, and what they might be able to do.
Well, one natural way to help stress release is to get out in nature, walking in nature and breathing. That's a natural stress release. Breathing is another one. Just laying and breathing, just like for even a minute, where it comes from the belly and not the upper chest. We tend to breathe in the upper chest. Getting enough sleep. Our sleep is extremely important for processing things that happen to us throughout the day. If you're not sleeping well, it's a definite sign of buildup of stress. Taking downtime, taking purposeful downtime is another way to do it.
And that, of course, is not enough, but it would be something that listeners could be doing as they get more information about Stress ACE Yoga and some type of structured program, which your structured program is the beginning of their exercises, their Stress ACE Yoga exercises, right?
Yeah, we use specific movements and breath, a combination of breath and movement that tells the body that it's safe. Feeling safe is very important. We go into fight, flight, or freeze if we don't feel safe. And we do that automatically because that's our lower brain. We have not stabilized in this new developmental arena that I was talking about the brain growing and reaching this higher level of awareness. If you're still functioning on that lower brain, you're going to be just like a reflective animal. It'll be fight, flight, or freeze. Those are your only choices. And when you're in those choices, you're not in the flow. You're afraid, you're scared, you've got that fist around you. Learning to meditate, learning to be still and just not dumb yourself down, but to just listen to yourself and to be with nature, to be with animals. You know, when you think about birds migrating from, say, from New York to Florida for the winter, they don't pull out a map and map how they're going. They have this inner knowing, that this guidance system that takes them down there automatically. So that is the higher form of intellect or intelligence that I'm talking about, where we're functioning on an higher intuitive intellectual level, that we don't have to worry about we have to defend ourselves, or we have to run away, or we have to freeze up and not let things bother us. That's the lower way, the old way, the caveman way, that we have moved or are moving through our developmental stages to this next stage of development, this upgraded human being, where you actually are, you already have the growth there. You got it at about age 25, but it's never been activated. So this new way of unwinding stress to let the nervous system start expanding and growing is what I'm talking about. And it's a process. You have to be shown how to get there. It's like catching the measles. You have to catch it. It can't be, you can't get a plan and make a path to it. There's certain things that need to be done in certain situations that you need to be placed in order to reach this new level of development. If that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to tell you that I really appreciate you being with us tonight, and I'm really looking forward to the next 5 months, next five episodes, and all of you can, of course, go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford and go to the archives after the show. And you can pick this up again. You can invite your friends to take a look at that, and that we will have another step in the process as revealed by the author of this book. This book will be out, but right now you can go to stressace.com, or you can call 901-457-8895 or email ELLA@stressaceyoga.com. I want to thank you again, Dr. L, for being with us, and thank all of you for being with us tonight on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Have a good evening.
I just want to say one more thing very quickly. The next talk is Dynamic Body Self, the Dynamic Body Self within the flow, how the flow works within the body.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
And you have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
And everyone else. Bye.